Thank you for listening to an audio recording from the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative dedicated to preserving America's history through the timeless practice of oral storytelling. To learn more about the Tell Me a Story program, including how you can add your own story to the collection, visit MidwestGenealogyCenter.org/tellmeastory. On behalf of the Midwest Genealogy Center and Mid-Continent Public Library, we hope you enjoy the following story.
Okay, this is Sherry Batrick, and I am here with Alice Beebe. It's February 13, 2022, and we are at her home, which is located in Independence, Missouri. And we're actually in the office space of her home in order to do this recording of a little bit about her story related to coming to this area of Missouri. So without further ado, I'm going to let Alice take it.
Glad to be here. Thank you, Sherry. I just thought I'd start really when it began for me, the trek. And it didn't start, I didn't get here immediately. It started many years ago. And when I was young, and I'm not sure why I got the feelings, but I always thought one day I would live in Independence, Missouri. There'd be one time when the feeling would come, you know. And so when people would ask me, what are you doing in your life? They kept getting that answer. And they said, are you really? I said, no, not now, not now. But I've known for years that I would be coming to Independence, Missouri. So as we were in Salt Lake City, Utah, and we had established our publishing company for special arrangements of the hymns. And we were having a good time. We had a lovely building, made a music visitors resource center, and we were just as happy as we could be. And then we had an opportunity. It was a group of doctors and nurses that were coming on tour to Missouri, and they asked us to come with them, mainly because they wanted Larry for the music. And so as we traveled on the bus, he had a keyboard, and we sang a lot of the hymns and sang a lot of things as we traveled around. And I got to come with them. And I was really excited about coming to Independence, but I always felt it was just a special opportunity for Larry. And so as we traveled around, and we learned a lot about the history, and met a lot of people, and, you know, the little feelings started coming back, but I kept shoving them back, saying, no, we're in Salt Lake and doing our thing. And then as our last stop, we were on our way to the St. Louis Temple. And the bus broke down. And so therefore we had to wait for another bus to come get us. And so by the time we got there to the temple, which had just been dedicated in 1997, in June of 1997, and we were there at the first part of July in 1997, and we really wanted to go see it. And I was the only one that was dressed in my Sunday clothes. Everybody else had to go change their clothes. So I knew we couldn't stay, but I really wanted to go in. So I went in the front doors, and as I came in, there was such a spirit. It deepened my soul, and I started crying. And I think the people were really nervous at the gate, because they were thinking, who is this lady? And they said, well, are you coming to come in? And I said, well, no, I can't. I can't. She said, oh, I'm so sorry. And I said, oh, no, I can, but I can't. And I said, we have a bus outside. And they went, a tour bus? And we said, yes, but they can't come either because we're late to get to the airport to go home. But I had some significant feelings while I was there. And then I finally went back out and I walked around the area. And I just said, I've just got to go back into the lobby one more time before we go. And I went back in, and the exact same experience. Exact. And I cried just exactly too. And then leaved ready to go home. And I thought about it the whole time, and it just filled my soul and brought all the memories that I'd never forgotten about one day we would live in Independence, Missouri. And we got back to Salt Lake, and of course we were back in the building and the business and publishing and working very hard. And the nagging feelings just kept coming. And then Sherry Batrick called And she knew that we had done hymn sings. And she called and asked if we would come to Missouri and do a hymn sing in her area. And we said, oh, that'll be fun. So we came. And with that, we were able to see more about the area. And the hymn sing that night was just wonderful. Great people. They sang their hearts out. And the spirit was so strong. And I knew again those feelings were there. And then we went back home. And I was trying to be okay about being there and continue with what we were doing. But the heart just kept speaking. And so Larry was at church. He had a meeting earlier in the morning. And so I spent a lot of time we have an organ there where we had lots of programs and that. And I just played and played and played and just asking questions. And when I finally got through and felt like I'd gotten it all out of me, I started walking across the mezzanine to go get ready for church. And I had a moment of understanding that this is what that we were to do. And so that began the trek. But it was a long trek. Larry had me come back, and I was traveling back and forth, and we set up one office. We have a company called America's Family Learning Center, and it's all about learning about freedom and how to keep our freedom and the love of country. And so we have a lot of materials that we worked with. Yes. America's so Center. The first office, thank you. Yeah. The first office was America's Family, and we had it there on Independence Square. And so I traveled back and forth. I'd be here maybe for 3, 4, 5 days, and then I'd be gone for like 5, 6, 7 weeks. Larry had a responsibility in the church, and so therefore he couldn't come back and forth with me at this time. But he kept sending me back, and then I came back and forth, and later on we established an office for Larry's music as well, and we established some other things during that time, and I didn't know it was going to be almost 4 years of traveling back and forth, but that's what it was. And Larry continued finishing his responsibilities in Salt Lake, and then when he was completed with that, then he got the feelings it was now time to go. And so we had this enormous moving truck, van, and they won awards for how much they got into it and safely. It was just amazing. But we had our full printing, all the equipment, the computers, the printing, everything, as well as our home. And so it was loaded. And we have a huge organ, and we have two pianos and grand pianos and that. So it was quite a trek. But we got here. And there was a home here in Independence that I had looked at during my 4 years of being in and out. One particularly, it was a Chaplin house, which was a historic home which had been redone. And it was catty corner to the Truman home. And I kept looking at that, and the lady who did all the work and who owned it at that time, she kept inviting me in. And I just said, no, it's wonderful, it's a beautiful home, but I don't think with the move we can afford it. So it was just kind of back and forth. And Sherry and I looked at some places, and we just tried to figure out what to do when Larry was finally able to come. And then Larry called me one morning and said, we're now to go now. And I remember I said, are you sure? You know, very calmly, are you sure? And because I was in the office here. And he said, yes, I know this is what we're supposed to do at this time. And I remember said again, well, are you really sure? Oh, Larry, I have a phone call. Can I put you on hold for a minute? And I ran around the office, and everything was wide open. And I said, guess who's moving to Independence? Guess who's moving? And he said, oh, Larry's coming. I said, well, no, we're coming. He said, no, you're already here. Larry's coming. Then I came back to the phone and said, oh, okay. And Larry said, but we don't have any place for the printing, and we don't have any place for all this. And I said, well, actually we do, honey. We'd, I'd been negotiating with the owner of the building that we were in. And he had a full basement, which was just clean, beautiful, wonderful. And I said, we have a place for print shop. In fact, when I talked to him about that downstairs, he said, you know, I always figured or always felt there was like a printing shop down there. Hmm. And I thought, oh, okay. So I said, Larry, everything's fine. We have a place for the printing. We just don't have a place to live. But I've been looking and looking and looking, but we don't have a place to live. And he said, well, you better hurry, because the van just drove out of here with all of our stuff, and they need to unload on Tuesday morning. And I went, okay. And he said, and I'm coming in tonight. So we got here, and I showed him a couple of places, and he said, no, not quite right. So we went to prayer, pleading, actually, because we had a lot of stuff in that van. In fact, they had to bring a second van to bring all of it. And so we were on our knees, and it was like 9:15 that night, and they were supposed to, actually, they came in a day early. And they called us on Monday and said, we're ready to unload. And I said, oh, no, you can't do it, unload until Tuesday morning. And they said, well, we'll wait then. So we knew it had to unload on Tuesday morning. And so as we were on our knees and praying for help, the telephone rang. And it was the realtor for the house, the chopping house that I'd looked at a dozen times. And he said, the deal's set. He said, you can move everything in tomorrow. It's just you won't take possession for 2 days. That was an absolute answer to prayer.
Wow.
So we then called the driver and said, here's the address. They said, we'll be there at 8:00 tomorrow morning. And they had to unload the house first so they could get the business. It was in the very front of the truck. So it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. And being in the Choplin home, it just had such a historic feeling. And it was interesting that people were very curious about the home because it almost was demolished. And they came rushing to save it before the fire departments, they were going to knock down the front wall. And they stopped it from being demolished. And this lady and the community took on the project to secure it and build it back. And so it was really a good place for us to be. We got to meet a lot of people. And it was just a joyful experience. Then, as we got settled in at the office and began the work there, some interesting things happened. They have the holly berry. What's it called? It's where they go. You go into homes and for Christmas, and they have them all decorated.
Oh yeah, the tour of homes.
The tour of homes. Yes, and a lady who'd become a friend of mine during those 4 years, she called and she said, Alice, would you and Larry be willing to host that this year? Now, grant you, we had just moved in on the 30th of June, and you had to have it ready by November 7th. And I didn't know what it was. But that feeling came again. This is something that would be good for you to do. So we set out trying to figure out what to do. And we saw how other people did their places, and we went, oh, I don't want to show off that place. We want to teach something or share something. And so we decided to do the Williamsburg because we're very America historically inclined. And so we began many, many, many hours. And Sherry got involved in that too. Many hours of putting berries on the garland and hanging up quilts and everything. We decided to do, we had music going. We played music. And we had a table set up in the dining room, indicative of what they ate back in Williamsburg's time. And we had an old-fashioned Christmas tree and had what you had on an old-fashioned Christmas tree. And we had a sweet friend who owned a restaurant here. And she came in and she was baking all the goods that were during that period of time. And gingerbread. She had gingerbread going all day long, so as the people passed through, they could take some gingerbread with them, and it just made the place smell wonderful. But it was quite amazing, because we'd not known anything about this, but they had 1,006 people who came through that day, and they said that's the highest that's ever happened in that area. And it was just because it was such a historic home, and it had been redone to the same spec that it was. And people just wanted to come in and say thank you to the lady who saved it. Mm. And it wasn't us, the lady who saved it. And they were curious and they wanted to come in. There's a great spirit here in Independence, Missouri. We've just loved it. The people are wonderful. Yes, we all have differences, but that doesn't matter. And so we've pressed forward in doing things in Independence. We've worked with a chorale for 17 years that we traveled around doing special programs. We have a Heartland America Community Choir, which has been on vacation since COVID, but it's coming back up in March. It's starting back up again. And we've worked with the youth. We've had tours from schools. It's just been a wonderful experience, a learning experience for us. And we've just loved it here and still do.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I have a question for you. You mentioned you mentioned some people. I don't know if you feel comfortable sharing who they were, just in case they are contributing their stories to this oral history project and people might want to go and listen to theirs as well. What was the name of the lady who owned the restaurant that did the gingerbread?
Marcia Armstrong.
I remember.
And boy, could she cook. Whoa! She kept me going for 4 years. She and Dale, they've been so wonderful. They just took me under their wing, being here alone all the time, and just took great care of me. And their son Brian hauled the furniture every time we moved someplace, something. He was hauling and hauling, and Dale was always there. They're wonderful people. Wonderful people.
And then the lady who saved the Chopin house, who was that? Do you remember her name?
I'd have to look that up.
Okay.
That could be another story.
Okay.
I remember her, and I knew her for like 4 years, but it escapes me, and I wouldn't want to do her a disservice by not getting her right.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. So, tell me a little bit about what did you think Independence was going to be like? I mean, you'd been to St. Louis. And then when you came to do the hymn sing for mm-hmm. my congregation, it was up in Hamilton, up in Caldwell County.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But had you been to Independence before that first time that you actually landed here?
On the tour?
Yes.
Yeah, it was the first time.
That was the first time.
I had never been to Independence, but all my life I said I was going to live there.
So what did you think it was going to be like? What were your imaginings?
I don't know if I really had any imaginings. I just knew that there was something that we were going to do for whatever reason. I'll say whatever the Lord had in mind for us. So I don't really think I had any really thoughts about it. But it was interesting that some people had asked me, they said, "Now, why are you here, Alice?" I don't know what they wanted me to say, but I was working on the square. In fact, actually, I was president of the association for 2 years. And you know, but do they say, "Well, now, exactly why are you here?" And I always used to say, you know, I don't know. It's a dirty old town, but I just love it. And it disarmed them from asking me that, you know, for 2-3 years. Why are you here? I love it, though. I like the history. I like the feeling. I know that there was animosity here, but I don't think it's what it has been. But, yeah, there's a little misunderstanding and animosity. But I just love it. A friend of ours just called the other day to wish us happy birthday. Wish Larry happy birthday. And he said, "Well, are you happy that you moved to Independence, Missouri?" And I said, "We are very happy." And he said, "Really?" And I said, "Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We love it here. We love it here. There's a spirit and there's a, you know, things to do to and hopefully help people." I just love working with people, and I've never directed the Messiah before. In fact, that was never in my DNA to direct the Messiah. I've directed a lot of things, but that was never my DNA. And we have a lady in our congregation that I didn't even know who she was, and she kept coming up to me and saying that she knew I was supposed to be the director of the Messiah, because they were bringing it back to Independence. It left for Kansas City, bringing it back. And I used to say, "And who is she?" But she kept saying, "I just know you are." So after about a year and a half of her doing that, I said, "Oh, okay." And it's just amazing. We had people from all denominations that came together. A great choir, great audience. And it amazed me that I actually could do it. never, never in my lifetime thought I would direct the Messiah. And yet, I did. And I have to say, the Lord really blessed me. And I think it blessed the lives of the people. We had some people that were not really friendly towards each other. And as we got through with rehearsals and with the love that came through the music, and they actually were walking out almost hand in hand and sharing the stories and friends and say, hey, let's go have lunch, you know. And there were a number of them that were not really happy with each other. And so music has proven again that it can do great wonders.
That's wonderful. So let's talk about America's Family a little bit. You mentioned that you were setting up an office for America's Family as well.
Yes.
What can you share with us about that and what's happened here in Independence with that?
Well, America's Family actually began, we called it, was Young Citizens of America, and that was done in Washington, D.C., the time that we lived there. And we instead of a performing group, because we've had lots of performing groups, we made an educational group, but we used a lot of music to do the teaching. And our whole goal was to teach about the Constitution, our history, and how to preserve your history, and what's our responsibility. And we worked with children who were ages 6 through 12. And it went on as long as we were in D.C., and it was like 6 years. And with that, we were able to establish books and materials. I had worked at the White House for a short time with Ron Mann, and he's a scholar on the Constitution. Mm. And so there was a lot of materials that he had written that he said, Alice, take this and run with it. So we have books about it, and we're doing audiobook CDs, and we have music audiobooks and music audios. And just right now we focus upon the family. In D.C., the children came into classes, and the parents came, and they were very happy to do that. But our focus right now is for families, homeschooling, home-centered, just parents sharing with their children, and their great stories you don't really hear about. Faith-promoting stories about the great people who helped establish this country.
So if our listeners wanted to get more information about America's Family, let's say that there was a homeschooling family that was listening to this, and they wanted to reach out and to find out about the materials that you have available, how would they do that?
They can find us. We have a website called americasfamily.org, and it's AMERICS. Family.org, and that'll take them to the website that shows all the materials and the projects that we are doing.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And then you still are doing your publishing as well, right? For the music.
Gratefully, after COVID, we still are. Yes, we are. Still printing.
And so is that mostly music for America's Family, or is that a different kind of music, or... Who would be interested in that kind of music?
Well, we love the hymns. Excuse me. And so Larry does special arrangements of the hymns for choirs, vocal solos, flute, violin, string ensembles, all kinds of flute, all kinds of and vocal duets and vocal solos. And there are special arrangements of the hymns. And we specialize in that.
Wonderful.
And you can tell because our website is www.hymns.com, H-Y-M-N-S. Yes, and we've been doing that since we were in Salt Lake, and it's still continuing, and we ship basically throughout the world.
Wow.
People who love the hymns.
And are they primarily just in English? With shipping over across the world, do you have the hymn arrangements in any other languages?
Well, a lot of our arrangements right now in the same book have English and then Spanish. We have been doing, and we've been doing some German and some Portuguese, but we need to do a lot more of it.
That's wonderful. So what are your hopes for the future of your stay here at Independence? Do you plan to be here for the duration, or do you feel like it's a temporary landing spot?
Oh, give me the duration. I mean, you know, you never know, but no. No, our plans are not to pack up and move. We're here for the duration. And if the Lord changes his mind, then he'll let us know.
I heard that you did something in the community once that had to do with bells, and something about ringing bells. And I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about what that was.
Ring the Bells of Freedom. It was first established in Mount Vernon while we were in D.C., and we were asked to put together a program. This was the celebration, bicentennial celebration of the signing of the Constitution. And they had moved all the celebrations out of D.C. and took it to Philadelphia. Didn't kind of want to have it there in D.C. And the people who came to us, the organization that came to us, said, "We want it here. Would you do it?" And we held it on the Jefferson Steps Memorial. And we started working, it was youth, 12 to 18. And they lived in different states, not stakes, states. And we traveled around to teach them the music and whatever we were going to do. And then we came all together and had a major rehearsal on the steps of the Jefferson Memorial. We had 740 youth participating.
Wow.
Yeah. On the steps, all spread out. Yeah. And we had a great man. I've been trying to find him for years, and I think he's gone the way of heaven. His name's David Manley. And he said he has a song, "Make America the Beautiful Again." It is remarkable, absolutely remarkable. And that was one of the numbers that we found through him, and he gave us permission to use it. And he was living in Georgia, and we had, at the office, we called and asked if we could use that and told him what we were doing. And he said, "Yes, I'll give permission. I'll send you the soundtracks that you need." And then the next day I got a phone call and he said, "Would you like me to come and sing the solo?" And I said, "Oh, yeah." I didn't tell him what organization I was with, except for America's Family. But he, remarkable voice, great spirit. But that number, we all need to hear it over and over and over again. It begins with Abraham Lincoln, the talking part.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful. And it was interesting that he came. And I think he was surprised about how many youth we had up there. And the next day after it was over, he said, "That was remarkable." He says, "I saw 740 youth for America and for the Lord." It was very powerful. So since then, we have done biannually a program in different places where we've lived. And the last one we did was 218 here, but we were supposed to do it 220, but you know how that went.
Yeah, COVID.
We got kind of shut down, but not forever. We still have another September, because we do it on September 17th, because that's the anniversary of the signing of the Constitution. And it's got fun music, it's got dialogue, it's got heartrending. It's a powerful program.
Awesome.
Yep.
Well, I think I just want to ask you, do you have the ability to provide a recording of the piece of music that Mr. Manley sang? Do you have a recording of him doing that with America's Family, with the kids?
I do have a recording of him and his backup singers, but forget that. We do have a recording. We just haven't had to transfer it to another piece of equipment.
Okay.
Yeah, we do. I'm sorry, we do. We do have huge videos of the whole program.
Oh, wow.
But it's in a form that we have to get the same equipment to download it.
Okay. Well,
I forgot that. Thank you very much.
Well, for those of you who are listening, we will see if there's a possibility that we can make that available somehow through the Mid-Continent Public Library. It would be great for people to be able to hear that piece of music and to be inspired to come together and strengthen our nation.
It's powerful. It is. Okay.
All right. Well, this concludes the first hour of Alice's story. And we will be back for hour number two, for those of you who are looking to learn a little bit more
about Alice and her family and their experiences here in Missouri. So thank you for being with us.
Thank you.